Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning. It is the 27th of August. The sun is rising and Jesus has risen. That is good news indeed. We start Faith Radio Mornings every morning with that great news. We couldn't even have a show together if Jesus hadn't been risen. We would have nothing to talk about, no future and no hope. But in the beautiful kingdom of our Savior, there is always hope and always future. I'm your host here for Faith Radio Mornings, Dr. Peter Kapsner. Happy to be joined in studio by my friends and fellow believers on this journey, Logan Roush and Paul Perreault, who along with Rachel Sutton produce Faith Radio Mornings, keep the sound running smoothly, the news flowing throughout the morning, and bring these guests from around our country that help us think about some of the headlines and some of the lifestyle stories that are going on in our country and in our families from a Christian perspective. Great to have you gathering around the radio this morning with me from North Dakota and South Dakota and Iowa, Wisconsin, Connecticut, and all over our country streaming our Faith Radio Mornings. If you want to join the show, actually, this morning, we'd love to have you as you listen. You can join in a couple of ways. You can call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH or 933-2484. You can call. We'll bring you on air if it's relevant to our topic. And you can text all morning in the studio. We love getting texts from our listeners from around the country. Well, before we bring our first guest, Brandon Showalter, in from the Christian Post to talk about some of the news that's happening and bring him into the conversations, thought we would start with a quote from the 19th century French philosopher this time. And I had to actually ask my wife, Hallie, who at least can speak a little bit of French. I can't do anything in French at all. And so I asked her how to pronounce his name. It's something along the lines of Pierre de Chardin. And it's a quote that he had that has always been meaningful for me throughout the course of the journey. He writes this about life in this world. He says that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I love that quote. It guides so much of what we do here on Faith Radio Mornings, where as we talk about news and lifestyle stories from this Christian perspective, we're not going to talk about them as Republicans or Democrats or allegiance to temporary kingdoms like that. We are citizens of heaven, as Paul says in Philippians 3:20. Not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. Great to be with you this morning as we gather around the radio. And with that, Brandon Showalter will join us in a moment. And there's lots to get to this morning. We'll start by talking about the life and death and legacy of John McCain, who you probably heard passed away this weekend. And Brandon also wrote a really interesting article detailing out life in a California church that is serving beer to its parishioners. There's lots to get to with Brandon this morning. Can't wait to have him in the conversation. So stay with us for more and welcome everyone to Faith Radio Mornings.
I've been called a maverick. Someone who marches to the beat of his own drum. Sometimes it's meant as a compliment, and sometimes it's not.
And of course, that is the voice of Senator John McCain, who passed away this weekend after discontinuing his treatment for the brain cancer that he had. I don't know of a more famous or a senator who had more of an impact from that position. He obviously ran for president as well. Bringing Brandon Showalter into the conversation. Brandon, I mean, impact, a life legacy of John McCain. There really was nobody like him in the Senate.
Indeed, there wasn't, Peter. He was truly one of a kind. It is kind of remarkable to see leaders who commandeered such respect from both sides of the aisle. And, you know, say what you will about one's agreement or disagreement with him, that he will be remembered for many years and decades to come.
Yeah, and the tributes really came pouring in this weekend, Brandon. You mentioned across the aisle there. It came from both sides and just even across the political spectrum in our country. Here's just a few of the snippets of people who had something to say. First, starting with the former Republican Ohio Governor John Kasich.
I can't think of anybody on the national scene today that can take his place. I don't really search for approval from many people, and particularly people in politics. But with John, I always wanted him to say, good job, Johnny.
Other side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton.
That example that he set of working across the aisle, but more than that, working to bring people together here at home and around the world is one we should remember.
Big supporter of the military, obviously, so we have General David Petraeus.
No one had the backs of America's new greatest generation, those who fought the wars of the post-9/11 period, more than he did.
And, of course, his family just absolutely adored him. Here's Meghan McCain, his daughter.
I got the most marvelous husband and friend and confidant, a source of strength and inspiration, and also the best father you could ever imagine.
I mean, Brandon, it really did pour in from all over. And this seemed genuine. It didn't seem like a political stunt of some kind where people might tweet some things out just to gain some attention for themselves. There really did seem to be some respect for this man.
There was. And it really is. I too, am kind of marveling, and rightfully so, of the respect and the honor that is being given to Senator McCain. I think that what probably lies at the root of so much of it is they recognize, how can you forget this when you think of Senator McCain? Is the man spent years being tortured by the Vietnamese. I mean, he knows what it means to sacrifice and endure suffering for something that he believes in. And I think, regardless of what you think of some of his political views or how he always handled himself while he was in the Congress and the Senate, there was never a question, really, that this man had endured some real horrors for our country. And I think that's really one of the biggest reasons why he is so revered, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and he really did serve as sort of a stopgap from where we seem to be headed politically into this polarization. He was somebody that still commanded the respect to bring people across the aisle. What do you see happening from here, Brandon, just in terms of, I mean, we don't have those people that can stand in that gap anymore.
Well, then it's time for the new generation to rise to the challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is up to us. We can lament his loss, and we should, but onward we go. I would disagree with whoever said I think it was Kasich who said that no one can take his place. I do believe there are people who can. It's just come forward. they're out there.
Yeah, and I think so many generations lament the loss of something, but it is interesting, isn't it, how in the next generation there are people who do rise up and carry us forward. We see that over and over again.
Over and over, yes.
Well, Brandon, lots to get to. I love the article that you had in the Christian Post that you wrote recently here, compelled by this church in California. I know churches are there's a lot of different statistics that people are pointing to, some suggesting the church is really in decline in the mainstream perspective, and it seems to be other churches seem to be doing okay. But I'm always fascinated by what churches will do and the lengths to which they will go in order to draw parishioners in. And you highlighted this church out in the West Coast that is actually serving beer during the service and is supporting Planned Parenthood. There's a lot going on here. Brandon, talk us through the article that you wrote.
Well, I've reported on this twice, but there is a church out in Santa Cruz, California that was operating in a local food lounge. It's a plant of the Disciples of Christ denomination. And I just have to say that I think this particular church is really kind of beyond parody, if you ask me. This is called Greater Purpose Community Church. They serve beer during services, and they're opening a brewery and a restaurant next year, and they're going to donate a portion of the profits to charities, one of which is Planned Parenthood. I just think this is, to my personal opinion, is that this is just really sad. Oftentimes when you see churches that are so overtly, progressive, as they call themselves, it's born out of now, this is not the case everywhere, but it's oftentimes born out of being very disillusioned and disaffected with more conservative churches. And I understand how that can happen and does happen, but it's quite something to be actually doing something to donate money in the name of Jesus. If you're presenting yourself as a church to donate funds to an organization that boasts and who exists to take unborn life, pardon me, I just think that's satanic. Mm. I mean, this is just beyond. There's one thing to have. I've got Republicans and Democrats in my church and people who have, sort of a mix of opinions on the left and on the right, and I think we need to engage many points of view. But you don't give money to an abortion clinic. That's just wrong.
Mm. Well, and there's so much happening, too. I saw, Brandon, that you wrote just around social justice in our country, and this church really is emphasizing its version of social justice, even to the point of suggesting that it was white supremacy that killed Jesus at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, you just can't make this stuff up, because most every white Christian that I know would say that, you know, what killed Jesus was our own sin. It was our sin that put him there, you know. And yes, it was a Roman government, and I guess they're Italian, they're white. I mean, it's just I think it's racial identity politics read back onto the ancient Near East. And I will be the first one to condemn actual white supremacy, however it looks and whatever form it takes. But I think this is a cudgel. It's weaponized a contemporary issue and projected it back onto what the Son of God did for us as sinners in need of a Savior, to put it plainly.
It's Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, one of the largest Christian news organizations in the country. Brandon has joined us regularly the last few weeks. Love having him on. And Brandon, I'm mindful, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he traveled the Mediterranean world, he was going from city to city and church to church, and so many of his letters being written back then were for specific circumstances and specific places in those churches. I just wonder what he might write if he was alive today to a church like this, or just even to what you've referenced as the racial identity politics that we have going on in our country that really is making its way into so many churches today.
It would be a fascinating thing to engage the Apostle Paul on what he would say. I mean, I think he would have a lot to say to many churches, not just the ones that are engrossed in this sort of racial identity politics regime. I think he would have things to say to, I mean, make no mistake, there still is racial prejudice in this country, and I think he would have some things to say to, you know, churches in the South and elsewhere where those attitudes unfortunately persist. But it's something to consider. I think he would have some opinions about that. I mean, the church in the early days, and when the Pauline epistles, they were dealing with the same challenges. We tend to forget there really is nothing new under the sun. And I was just thinking the other day when I was pondering the ongoing fallout of the Me Too movement and all this. It's like, well, you read Corinthians and there's sexual sin in that church too. And, you know, this guy sleeping with his mother's, you know, his father's mother. I mean, all this kind of stuff that not even the people of Corinth did. And the Corinthians were a notorious people for sexual immorality. And so there really is nothing new under the sun. So navigating how to do church with the Jews and the Gentiles, all this stuff, it's just a reminder of why we need Jesus, to put it very simply.
Absolutely. It's part of why we started with that quote this morning, that we are not spiritual beings having a human experience. We are human beings having a spiritual experience, because to get allegiance to things in this world can get tricky really quickly. It's Brandon Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post. You can find his work at thechristianpost.com, as well as a source for just wonderful articles that cover news from around our country from a Christian perspective. Brandon, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about another article on the Post where the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Alveda King, has asked the president to pardon 100 prisoners. So more in a moment here on Faith Radio Morning. It is 21 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and joined on the line by Brandon Showalter from the Christian Post. What a great news site for all sorts of stories from around our country from a Christian perspective. And Brandon, if I remember correctly, you sing national anthems from around the world. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, I got to ask you then, because I'm hopeful that maybe you have a better sort of linguistic apprehension of the French language than I do, because I started with this quote from a French philosopher, and it's Pierre de Chardin. Does that sound anywhere close, Brandon, just from your, you know, extensive knowledge of linguistics?
Well, I think French is a pretty hard language to speak, but I think you've got that about right.
So that quote, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. It really can drive our sense of self, and getting away from all of the ethnic and racial and gender identities that just cause so much trouble in our country. They're real and they're important conversations, but it really can bring us together to remember that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're all spiritual beings at the end of the day.
Indeed we are, our body, soul, and spirit. And it's we live by the spirit, capital S spirit. It's important to walk in step with him, and I think that's where our truest identity lies.
Well, I wanted to ask you, too, just about an article that showed up in the Christian Post about the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Alveda King, who was asking our president, and she's a big supporter of the president, asking him to pardon 100 prisoners. What's sort of going on? What was her thinking behind this and sort of this act, this wave of mercy, she described it?
Well, criminal justice reform has been one of those issues, and you'd have to look for it, but it has actually gotten a lot of bipartisan support in Washington, D.C. It's one of the few areas where there is some agreement about reforms that are needed. And Alveda King, as you indicated, I think her purpose is to highlight the attention, particularly the African-American community is disproportionately affected by over-criminalization. And basically, as Christians, we believe in redemption and in second chances. And I think there are many people that deserve that second chance. And I don't know the specifics of all of those 100 cases, but I think it just highlights a larger issue that is worthy of attention. I think my colleague Michael Grabowski wrote this article you're referring to. My take on it is just that it's time to really look at the criminalization of so many black men and how it separates families. And we need families to be together in our society for our society to thrive. And when there are so many that are in jail, and there's a deeper problem here than just these 100 cases. But I think, and I don't want to presume to speak for Alveda King, but her, you know, drawing attention to this and asking the president to do this is, I think, a very effective way to draw attention to the issue.
And I think, in fairness, we've had a pretty long season of more intense incarceration than maybe we've had as a country for quite some time.
Very much so.
And there's absolutely, of course, the need for it, but we're also seeing that it hasn't really solved a lot of society's ills, has it?
It hasn't. And, you know, it is, I so sympathize with, black friends of mine who express frustration that when they are arrested for possession of marijuana, white kids, if you look at the statistics, white and black individuals use marijuana at the same rates as percentages, and yet the people who are in prison are black. There is such a thing as institutionalized systemic racism, because that doesn't just happen. These things, and so there's a cost to that. When people are in jail and their criminal records are affected, it really does create disparities in our system, and it fuels resentment, and rightly so. And so I do tip my hat to Alveda King and her efforts and the efforts of others. I do know some people who have spoken at length with the president about prison reform and, the criminal justice issues. And I hope it, we're going to continue to cover it here at CP, but I hope it continues to make the news, because it's a vitally, vitally important issue.
Yeah, it's Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post. We have just a couple minutes left, Brandon, but we had a pastor friend of mine on a couple of weeks ago, Raleigh Washington is his name. He's a pastor of inner city Chicago, and he was talking specifically about just the impact that the lack of fathers has in the home in the inner city of Chicago, where he used to minister, and the incarceration rates were off the charts because of that. And you actually wrote an article last month for Christian Post that talked about the impact of fatherlessness in the home, just even on a child's well-being. So talk us through that a little bit.
Well, are you talking about the DNA one?
Yeah, exactly. It was so interesting to see
DNA,
with the
broken
family.
That was from a few months ago, but that was probably some of the most fascinating research I've ever encountered. Yes, as it turns out, we are so wired for relationships, particularly with our biological family, that it's even written onto our brains. And the study that I reported on is how fatherlessness shortens one's lifespan. For children, they tracked children who experienced father loss by either the death of the father in the home or divorce, or for if the father just moved out or whatever. They charted children over time, and it found that children with father loss, the telomeres in their brain, which is the protective caps on the ends of the chromosomes, would were damaged when those when the father was not there, and the telomeres actually do when they shorten and they are damaged by that, it shortens the lifespan. I mean, it's really it's at that fundamental level. I mean, kids who don't have fathers, it literally damages their chromosomes and in their brain, and it really does prove the divine design that we absolutely need fathers and we need mothers, but fathers are not optional. And our biology proves it. It's really remarkable how God made us, but that was they've actually examined that now, and we can say that, you know, kids need dads because literally their health will be impacted if they don't have them.
Yeah, it's part of why the policies that we enact as a country are more than just, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat. They really do impact us for generations. Brandon, I love having you on the show. ChristianPost.com is where you can find a lot of great news from a Christian perspective. Brandon, enjoy the rest of your morning, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. So great to be with you.
We'll take a pause for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. In the second half of our first hour, we'll be joined by Adam Carrington of Hillsdale and continue the conversations. More to come here on Faith Radio Morning. Of course, tough news out of Jacksonville this past weekend too. Logan Roush, who's one of our producers in studio, also does a lot of gaming, kind of just clued me in on some of the news over the weekend about some people lost their life as part of this gaming contest where they were playing Madden 19, this NFL video game, and playing for a lot of money. And somebody who lost the contest ended up using a gun to kill two people, and he killed himself. Really difficult news again out of Jacksonville. So our prayers are with you down there. If you're listening down in Jacksonville, we are with you as a community of faith. And even in the midst of that kind of difficulty, as we grieve, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Much more to come here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner. Last Friday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Dr. Gary Stratton, professor of worldview and spiritual formation at Johnson University, and he was talking about the purpose of pain in our lives.
I asked my wife last night, okay, what is the purpose of pain? And she said, oh, pain deflates us. Pain deflates our ego. I said, that's exactly what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He has these incredible encounters with God that he's not even allowed to talk about. But it says, in order to keep me from being conceited, God allowed this messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh, to come into his life. And when we suffer this inflated ego we have, that the universe revolves around us and we're the most important person in the world, and the one thing in the world God really cares about is my life, of all the people in human history, he's here to make everything easy for me, that just deflates away really quickly. And we cling to him in fresh new ways.
I love having Gary on the program. Just his accessibility of his voice and his thoughts with some depth that just intersect with our lives. If you want to catch that entire segment, head to myfaithradio.com. You can search Purpose for Pain or Gary Stratton and catch all of what he had to say in that interview last week. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Carrington, and we'll continue to talk about the news topics of the day.
In a nutshell, spiritual dullness produces catastrophic consequences. It's what I call the get it factor. This is Jim Garlow. Here's an exercise for you. Write out your spiritual history, what you've gone through, what you've been through. And if you look closely at the times of disaster, most often there are times when you lack discernment or discretion or understanding. Am I close? Proverbs 4:7 puts it in proper perspective. It says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Embrace her and she will honor you. Another translation sums it up by saying, develop common sense and good judgment. A lack of discernment means wasting lots of time, lots of energy and resources on unnecessary and often painful detours in life. Pray and ask the Lord for spiritual acuity, for a sharp, keen awareness. But whatever you get insight. This is Jim Garlow.
It's just about 21 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and that music means that we're being joined by Dr. Adam Carrington, who's a professor of political science at Hillsdale College. And Adam, I got to say, I was on vacation in Michigan, where Hillsdale is, last week, and everywhere I went, people were talking about Hillsdale to the point that I started dropping your name everywhere. I was getting steak comped. I was getting into sold-out movie theaters. People were offering me ice cream on the streets. Adam, I mean, you're big time over there in Michigan.
Oh, that's news to me, actually. so, no, I'm glad that you enjoyed Michigan. It's a fun state to live in, and I'm glad that people at least have some idea who we are. And yeah, I'll see if maybe they can recognize me. I should get maybe my face out more.
Yeah, I did. I was showing your picture everywhere, so I would not walk around Michigan again, you know, without at least some sort of armed protection. The paparazzi is going to be joining you everywhere you go this fall as school starts again.
Which it does this Wednesday here for us.
Yeah, it does for me, too. It's a big change, isn't it, right? You know, we profs, we have it kind of easy all summer long, and all of a sudden the rude awakening of actual work hits again. It's just, it's troubling, isn't it? I mean, the level of our suffering knows no end.
Yes, yes. I wish, if I'd known you were going to bring that up, I would have asked to change my intro music from Led Zeppelin to, a sad trombone or something like that.
Well, I love having you on like this, Adam, talking through so many of the headlines, especially the political ones. It's such a great perspective. And boy, there's no shortage of news on the president over the last week or so. I was following some of it while I was on vacation, but it sure sounds like he took quite a few body blows last week from former associates that came out really against him, including Michael Cohen and some of what's coming out. Where are we at with this, Adam, and even some of the impeachment conversations that seem to be surrounding it?
Yes, and I think I wouldn't jump to conclusions the way some have. I saw some historians on MSNBC saying that, you know, this is the third week of 1973 and we're on our way to a Nixon-like situation. I wouldn't say it's that level yet, but it certainly has hardened. Before now, there's been a lot of accusations, but not a lot of concrete evidence about wrongdoing by the president or by his campaign. And here I think what you have is his campaign manager, former campaign manager, convicted on 8 counts, will probably be convicted on more at a later trial, has up to 70 years in prison he's looking at. You've got his now former lawyer pleading guilty to federal violations of law, where he says the president instructed him to do those campaign violations, which would make him an accomplice to it. So, these are serious allegations. What they will do for impeachment is going to be interesting. We could talk more about that, but it certainly shows that the investigation is finding some things. Whether they rise to the level of impeachment, I think, is a separate question. But, yeah, he did not have a good week.
And yet I saw the approval ratings that started the week. He was about 46%. And after all of this difficult news, he was still at 90% from the Republican side of things and 44% overall. So it barely budged, which would indicate that if the Democrats are going to run this upcoming midterm election in November on the idea of impeaching the president, maybe there's less traction there than we might think.
And I think if you look at Democrats running outside of D.C., their messaging, of course, it's been against the president, but their messaging has focused more on wanting to expand Medicare, attacking the problems with health care more generally, wanting to expand certain social programs, doing other things along those lines. So I think even they have realized that this has a deep commitment among a smaller section of the population. Now, we'll see if when more comes out, if they feel like they can do it if they take the House. But no, I think a impeach the president message isn't going to work for them any better than it worked for Republicans in 1998, an election they were supposed to do very well in and ended up losing seats in the House of Representatives when they were not supposed to. So that's something where I think that they're not going to make that their full message. But we'll see if they end up going forward with it, if they actually win.
It's a tough road to hoe, I would think, for the Democrats, too, when the economy is moving forward at a 4% rate or better. I mean, it's historically what happens in these situations when the economy is going well. Does the party in power tend to stay in power?
Here's where you have two historical trends going against each other. The tendency for a president is to lose seats in the midterm of his first term, really the midterms of both terms if he serves two. So that would be go well for the Democrats. On the other hand, like you said, the economy is going as well as it's gone in a long time. That usually bodes well for the party in power. So we're going to really see what these two trends do, since they really are pushing against each other. And I think that's partly why you see the president with not a great approval rating, but also certainly not a terrible one, because you have the incumbency problem and the incumbency benefit between the economy and other factors.
It's Adam Carrington of Hillsdale College, professor of political science. And Adam, when it comes to this election coming up, if the Democrats do take the House, what does that mean for the possibility of impeachment proceedings? Kind of what is that process? I don't remember well enough from when President Clinton was going through that process to know how you go from start to finish on this.
Right. And one thing to say is that we always talk about impeachment. Impeachment is actually one step in the process. What would happen is the House would draw up articles of impeachment. They would draw up an actual bill, you could almost call it. It wouldn't be exactly a bill, but a resolution saying these are high crimes and misdemeanors, which is what the Constitution says that we believe the president has done, that he is guilty of. There would be a debate in one of the committees of the House of Representatives. If it passed there, it would go to the full floor of the House, and then they would vote yes or no. And if a majority of them say, yes, he did this, which in the case of Clinton they did on several articles, then he is impeached. Now, all that really means is he's accused. Really, the way to look at it is the House of Representatives is like the grand jury. They're the ones that say, yes, these charges are worth pursuing. It then would go to the Senate, where to convict and remove the president, you would have to have two-thirds of the Senate then say, yes, we think that these accusations are true and that he's guilty. That would be the full process for removal. We have never had a president removed, even though we've had a couple impeached. And I don't think that would happen in this case either, but impeachment is a real possibility.
Well, and certainly there's some concern that people have suggested that to impeach and maybe remove the president from office, that then Mike Pence it would be in office. And some people see him as far more conservative than their current president.
Right. Well, and if that's the way people are talking, then they're actually thinking of it in purely partisan political terms. Because really, if you're taking this seriously the way the Constitution established it, you're asking, has the president committed high crimes and misdemeanors that make him unfit for the office? If so, you should vote to convict. If not, you should not vote to impeach or convict. To do it merely on the calculation of would we like the next person in better, I think misunderstands or is misappropriating the process. And I think, you know, the Clinton impeachment is going to be very interesting as a background. That was a situation where the president committed a federal crime or was alleged of committing a federal crime because he had was trying to cover up a sex scandal. This situation is very similar. Is it similar enough that it should also warrant impeachment, or did that warrant impeachment? We're going to see a lot of comparisons to the late 90s in a very interesting fashion on that.
Well, if they keep impeaching people, Adam, I would imagine that at some point you, as sort of the new rock star of Michigan, would get your shot finally at political office. Is that true?
My guess is I'm maybe 1,500 on the list of succession. It would have to be worse than I'm now blanking on that Kiefer Sutherland TV series.
24.
Recently. The more recent.
Oh, the more. Yep.
He's the one cabinet member that doesn't go to the State of the Union. The State of the Union is bombed, and so he becomes president, even though he was, you know, 15th or 18th in line. It would take something more extraordinary than that. I think the American people are better off with me in a classroom than in front of than as the chief executive.
That's Adam Carrington of Hillsdale College, regular guest here on Faith Radio Mornings, talking through the political headlines of the day. Adam, when we come back, obviously big news from this weekend too, in the passing of John McCain. Would love to get your perspective on that when we come back on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and joined on the line by Adam Carrington, who's professor of political science at Hillsdale College. And we're lamenting having to go back to the classroom as soon as this Wednesday. What class are you teaching Wednesday, Adam? And is it first class of the day?
I'm teaching a graduate course in constitutional law, particularly on constitutional rights.
Well, you'd be so proud. My kids actually, my two oldest just got back from an East Coast road trip. And I don't know what it says about me, Adam, but I thought about you because they came back from Boston and Washington, D.C., and they gave my wife a gift of a replica of the Declaration of Independence. And they gave me a copy of Normisms from Cheers in Boston. So I'm not sure what that says about my kids and me.
It means that they think your wife is a very serious woman.
And far more intelligent than me, quite frankly, in that. Well, there's lots to get into, obviously, out of Washington and some of the big news. That really, the passing, it's, you know, icon can be an overused term, but this really was the passing of an icon with John McCain, and maybe one of the last people in sort of current political scheme that really had an ability to reach across the aisle in some profound ways in the respect. There's a clip we have of him even defending President Obama a few years ago.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues. And that's what this campaign is all about.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to just hear somebody that can differ politically and yet support each other just as human beings.
Right. And I think that he's someone that we're not going to see a whole lot of, given the current political climate. And I think that what really drove him, that I think undergirded that comment and a lot of his career, was he had a deep sense of honor, a deep sense of wanting to pursue the noble things that were part of the common good of his country. I think he loved his country and wanted to be an honorable man for it. And that's why I think he sought at times to rise above partisanship. And that statement was, I think, very good because it didn't brush over partisanship. He says, I have fundamental disagreements with him. Basically, I'm a Republican. He's not. We have our differences. But at the same time, he wanted to say that there is something bigger that we're all a part of, that the Constitution, the American Republic, is something that we can have common ground on, and that I think he had a sense that he needed to not merely be a partisan Republican, but he needed to be a man of the United States of America. And I think that was one of his best qualities. I mean, of course, I know a lot of people disagreed with him. There were reasons, you know, that he ruffled feathers, and not necessarily all because he was necessarily always right. But I think that sense of honor, duty, and love of country as a whole, not just his part of it, I think is something to be admired and celebrated in him.
Well, and I think it shows the respect that he garnered, for as much as the president has tweeted about other people within Congress or other people in political office and maybe gained some traction in deconstructing them, he had a hard time gaining traction on some of his critique of John McCain about being somebody who, you know, he likes prisoners who don't get caught, all of that kind of stuff. He just had a hard time getting traction as he was trying to deconstruct McCain. And that was sort of as a result of the respect that McCain seemed to have.
And I think that's one where the president probably would have been better to have taken a page out of McCain's playbook and have said, I have real disagreements with John McCain and think he is not doing good for his country on issues X, Y, Z, rather than attacking his war record, which he was unquestionably a war hero, rather than attacking him personally. Because, you know, one can disagree with maybe his views on particular issues, the Iraq war, immigration, or things like that that the president does, but to attack his honor, to attack what he did for his country in service to it, I think was a mistake, because I think people still are willing to, even when they disagree with certain people, see the nobleness in them and see the good and honorableness of someone who loves their country even when they don't agree with them.
Another story, we got a couple minutes left here, Adam, but wanted to make sure we at least touched on it. It was such a troubling and difficult story out of Iowa, and that was the recovery of Molly Tibbetts' body, who had been abducted, and in this case it looks like it was an illegal immigrant who, while she was out jogging, took her and then obviously killed her. And it's just such a hard story on every possible level. And then the political connection, of course, is with him as an illegal immigrant. I mean, this is going to be a lot of conversation, I'm assuming, the next couple of months.
Absolutely. And it's part of a larger conversation where we want to be a country that helps those and can include those from other countries that want to be a part of this country. I mean, we're, in many ways, most of us are the children, grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren of immigrants. but that we have an obligation to protect our own citizens, the people that are here, and we have a reasons to demand things of people that are here, that we preserve the safety and liberty that we have. And I think that's why this is very much a visceral issue, because we have to protect both sides of that. And on this instance, by not knowing who this person was, by letting this person in illegally, harm was done. And I think that that is something that it's more, makes it, as I said, more visceral than before. And, you know, I have a couple students I know here that are from Iowa that were really caught up in the story, that were really bothered by this because they're around the same age she is. They are students here. Several of them are female. So, you know, it touches very personally on our lives that we want to be a country that keeps people safe, even as we want people that will be safe to come in as well.
Yeah, it was. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and we had to have some of those conversations, too, just about her going out for a run. I mean, it's just the impact of this kind of thing is just so difficult all the way across the country. Well, Adam, thanks for joining us again, as you do here on Faith Radio Mornings. I hope you enjoy the start of school here coming up this Wednesday morning.
Same to you. We will suffer together Wednesday morning.
Solidarity, Adam. I love it. We'll take a break and wrap up our first hour of the show. I so enjoy those conversations with Adam Carrington. Just brings such a wealth of perspective to the political conversations going around in our country. And love the fact he's going back to school this Wednesday and teaching young people in the way that he does. I know I start this Thursday morning with a class on human sexuality. 31 students, 18 to 22 years old. And it's such a delight. Logan's going nuts in here in studio as a recent graduate. He's saying, how can professors complain at all about going back to the classroom? So having a good conversation in studio as well. Stay with us for more in the second half of our show on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.